Let's get this party started, fellas.
We have to go say, come on, Blog Talk, let me play
with
you.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's go.
You gotta let that hit.
Your turn. Yeah.
America, welcome to Talking Sports with the 12th man, as always, having a good time on this Thursday. Had to push everything back. There's some technical difficulties, but we're here on the 22nd of February. This month is flying by. And, guys, I got to say, I got to say, I wasn't a fan of Fergie's national anthem, man. I'm just saying, you know, I wasn't a fan of that. So just wanted to throw that out there, man. So just wanted to, you know,
the word on
shy,
the street is you coached her through that.
No, nah, the street had nothing to do with that. Do not even try to mess up the business like that, bro. Don't try to get me. So, man, yeah, we about to shut the show down quickly if y'all try to mess up my DJ career. It's all good. Let's those voices that you're hearing in the background that are trying to, like, shut it down. JQ, how you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man, but I tell you what, if the Blog Talk lady keep messing with us, I'm going to take my silver medal off like old girl at the Olympics. I'm going to walk away and give me a new sponsor.
You know what? We can't talk too much junk while we're on Blog Talk, so let's keep that keep that
whatever.
Minimum.
She know what she did. You know what she did, lady.
Another option. Yeah, good. I'm talking junk while we're on the Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening, bro? That's good. Thank you.
Man, doing great. Time to make it do what it do. We got a lot to talk about. Sorry to our listeners that we had to move the show to Thursday on this week, but thank you all for sticking with us.
Yeah, and apologies.
Next week,
man,
we'll be back on Wednesday night. That's the plan. Next week, back on Wednesday night.
A normal, or at least a good time. And I feel bad because,
like,
you know, I did all the prep work. What'd you say, Nicky?
I said, I don't know how that man is. He's a globetrotter.
No. I wish, but no way.
I know, right? I would love to go to Belize right now.
He's trying to will that out. No, it's all good. Hey, I was going to say, man, you
speaking
know,
into existence.
We did all the prep work for Tuesday, and then it's like, man, I don't know if everything was happening, man. So, you know, normally I did a Facebook post, so I apologize about that because you just never know. But anyway, yeah, follow us on Facebook. Obviously, there's a couple different ways. Facebook.com/TalkingSports with 12th Man or 12th Man Sports. Reach out to your boys. Always give us a call at 424-243-9519. And we are on Twitter, the Twitter world, at 12th Man Sports, 12, that's 12, THMAN Sports, if you're checking out there, folks. All right, let's get this party started, gentlemen, because we are officially, looks like we're going to talk about some college basketball here, and then we'll get set for the second half of the NBA season here. But, I don't know if you want to take this, Rob. JQ, you can definitely fill in, too, because we got a lot of games here. Purdue, Illinois, Arizona, Oregon State, Arizona State at Oregon, and we got some top 25 teams in action. So I guess we can go down the line and carry that on, too. So go ahead, Rob, you can lead us off, bro.
Well, you're looking at a Purdue team that's been playing extremely well all season, right there in the thick of things in the Big Ten. Carson Edwards, man, he went off tonight with 40 points. First player not named Glenn Robinson to score 40 points since Joe Barry Carroll did December 5th, 1975, against Southeastern Louisiana. So, yeah, Carson Edwards. Isaiah Hoss had a quiet night with only 10 points and 3 rebounds, but Carson Edwards stepped up big time. Important 40 points. Like I said, first player at Purdue since Glenn Robinson, who had 5 40-point games at Purdue. So a good win for them on tonight on the road against the Illinois team. So Purdue with the win tonight. And like I said, Carson Edwards, big game.
Yeah, keep it rolling. Go ahead, Clark Kellogg. Give us the Give us the 411 on the college basketball.
Oh, I'm keep going.
Go for it.
Arizona, of course, they're down by one on the road against the Oregon State Beavers. Of course, Arizona 21-6, 14th rank in the country on the road against Oregon State. They're trailing by 1 point, 60-59. Bad news for Arizona today, probably the best player, Alonzo Trier, who's been leading the team with 19.6 points a game, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, shooting 43% from 3-point range this season. Might be out for the rest of the season due to a pending NCAA investigation here. So that's going to be a big blow to their program. Obviously, you still have DeAndre Ayton, who's going to be a top 3 pick. Who's going to be a top 3 pick in the draft. Hopefully, he can carry him, but that could be a big blow to Arizona and their chances moving forward this season.
Yeah, I mean, they all know, though, you got to toe that line, even if it don't seem like it's right. Yeah, that's a big blow for them. And they started the season off a little shaky. They were starting to hit a stride, so that's tough for Arizona.
Yeah. And the talent is there on that team, too. Could have been a scary team in the NCAA tournament. But obviously, Arizona is appealing, so we'll see what comes out of that.
Roll on, brother. Roll on.
Arizona State, yeah.
Float on.
Yeah, go ahead, bro.
That game hasn't tipped just yet. I think it's a tip in about another 20 to 30 minutes. Oregon, their team that's trying to, you know, get back into the tournament. We'll see what they can do tonight. I expect them to win against Arizona State tonight. Yeah, they both were tied for 7th place, but Oregon has been kind of on a little bit of a run here lately.
Yeah, so we got some upcoming top 25 teams.
Sorry.
Oh, the Bearcats won. No, they're bringing it
it's
back, like Nick Van Nessel, bringing it back.
They was killing me. I was a kiss of death last week. I talked that junk, and they probably lost 2 games in a row. I said, damn it, I ain't going to say that now.
Jake, you just mentioned Cincinnati with a sound 25-point win, home victory over UConn, so 11-ranked Bearcats with a big win. We already talked about Purdue with a 7-point road victory over Illinois. St. Mary's, 22 rank in the country. They got a 19-point lead at home against Pepperdine. As we just mentioned, Arizona, 14 ranked. They're now down by 2 on the road against Oregon State. Houston, number 23 ranked team in the country. Look like they're getting ready to lose on the road to Memphis. Memphis got a 7-point lead at home. Gonzaga is a 6th ranked team in the country. 3-point lead on the road against San Diego. Some top 25 matchups to look forward to here in the next couple of days. Tomorrow night, 18-ranked Rhode Island, Atlantic 10 team playing phenomenally. They are very good guard play on that Rhode Island team. So they could be a tough out in the tournament, too, with their guard play. At home against Dayton, I expect them to win that game. Ohio State, number 16-ranked team in the country. On the road against Indiana, a team that's been struggling. JQ's favorite school, Michigan, number 17, on Saturday. On the road against Maryland. So that's always a tough place to play, even though Michigan is the better team. Tennessee, I tell you, Rick Barnes got them playing sound defensively. They're tough inside. I expect them to win on the road against Ole Miss. Number 13-ranked Wichita State on the road against SMU. Larry Brown, sorry, you're going to lose to Wichita State. Interesting matchup, Villanova, number 3 on the road against Creighton. I mean, Villanova killed them by like 20 points in the first matchup. I still think they can go on the road. I just think it's going to be a lot closer than that first matchup was.
Definitely.
Andre, which say you, Georgia Tech at Clemson?
Oh, my goodness, Clemson all the way.
All right.
You said
Virginia, number 1 on the road against Pitt. Pitt struggling big time this year. I like Virginia, number 1 team in the country on the road. Duke at home against Syracuse. Expect them to win. West Virginia at home against Iowa State. And also St. Mary's as well against Santa Clara. So that rounds up pretty much your top 25 matchups. Middle Tennessee State also, number 24 team in the country. Expect them to be UAB.
One
upset, though. Number 12, Auburn, I think we'll get upset on the road at Florida.
Tough playing game too. Yeah, Middle Tennessee State being ranked. I mean, you know, just for our listeners and while we were letting Rob roll through it, because, I mean, Rob was full on into it. And I mean, I care about it, but I care about it for my teams. But this year, when you have a St. Mary's and a Middle Tennessee State ranked, I know they're ranked in the lower 20s, but this year has just been so crazy. I have no idea to do with the brackets come March. I mean, I feel like it's so wide open. It's just going to be a flip of the coin.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, like, what colors do you like of a team? Like, it's going to be like a chick that wins it because she likes the mascot or something ridiculous because it's just
are they colors?
colors, you know, like, I visited there when I was 12, so, you know, go Rhode Island. You're going to be like, what? And then that's trying to win based off of that. It's crazy. I can't call it. This year has been nuts. It's that one and done.
There's no dominant team. There's no dominant team.
University of Virginia is number one in the country.
Yeah, go ahead.
University of Virginia, they're number one in the country, and they play probably the best defense out of any team in the country. But historically, they have struggled when they get to tournaments there. They don't have anybody that can hit big shots. I expect the same. I'm just not sold on Virginia being that best team in the country. They got a team that can win six straight come tournament time. I look for a team somewhere along the lines of a Michigan State or a Villanova. Or Duke or North Carolina, a team like that to still be that team that can make a run down the stretch.
Yeah, you're going to have to go for, unfortunately, you're going to have to go
for even Kansas right now.
The Blue Bloods. The Blue Bloods, like you said, the Kansas. I like Kansas, no, but then, you know, are they going to crumble like they always do in the big games? Then you got to look at, you know, the Dukes, like you said, the North Carolinas, the Michigan States, teams like that, the team that always played better during tournament time because they're tested in the coaching, so. That's probably the best way to go, like you said. But JQ, 100% agree that Rhode Island, that was a cool spot. You know, I visited it. Hey, they got good colors, you know, because they're really –
You're right.
It's up in the air. Villanova looks good one day, and they get beat one time. You're like, what? You don't know which squad to go with, man. And then Arizona, you like them. But then, as Rob mentioned, with some with the sanctions here with your boy, it's just going to make things tough. I don't know. Needless to say, we'll see how that plays out. Anything else on that? On the college basketball?
I think that's pretty much it. Seton Hall, a big role game at St. John's. They've been playing really well, so that's going to be interesting. I think St. John's got a chance to upset Seton Hall on this Saturday. But Seton Hall is a team where they're right about 19-9. I think one or two more wins this season, they'll be sure in for the NCAA tournament. They're battle-tested. The Big East is still a tough basketball conference. But that would be an interesting game because St. John's has really pulled off some really quality upsets here lately in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, was it Duke and Villanova back-to-back?
Yeah. Duke and Villanova.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, they're playing the game. That's the team you got to watch out for. They mess around and beat Seton Hall. Like, their record ain't great, but who has a better resume right now in terms of big wins?
St. John's.
If they pull off that win, I mean, nobody wants to see them in 8-9. they really don't. Once you don't want to see them in the second round, they sure don't. They're going to be interesting to watch if they keep playing like that.
Yep. All right, we'll keep this going here. We're going to talk about the Dallas Mavericks here. But, gentlemen, just to really recap, because I know we were fresh off the All-Star game. We didn't get a chance to talk about it because Tuesday versus Thursday, a couple of days out. But I was watching it, and definitely at first we thought that, and still some players are injured, but we thought that Team Steph was going to get killed. But they were actually ahead, and then Team LeBron had a guys will come back there. I'm going to ask the question. Do you think that there'll be an All-Star game where 200 points will be scored? I'm just thinking about that. Do you think so?
They almost did it last year. Was it 193? Was the winning total last year? So they was only 7 points off last year. They played a little bit more defense, which I was good to see. I mean, it's still an All-Star game. He's not going to be locked down defensively. But think about the end of the sequence. You know, KD and LeBron trapping Stephen Curry to keep him from even getting a shot off. I mean, that's more defense than what I think we've seen played, but it's possible. Will they do that every year? Because I remember last year I'm pretty sure the West scored 193 last year. It was 190 something.
Wow.
Okay, I'll verify.
Yeah.
Cause
I know Anthony Davis had like 52 points in that game, so you're probably right.
He did. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was something ridiculous. I'll look at that while you go.
Yeah. Okay. Because I was looking at that. I didn't think there's ever been one where we had, like, it was 192 to 182. Yep. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And that wasn't even an overtime game.
Right. That was gotcha. Straight up
That's crazy. Because we were thinking about that. Will there be 200 points? Because that means, like, there's no defense being played. But interesting. All right. That was a little side note. So really quickly, the Dallas Mavericks, they're having some little misconduct scandals going on with what's happening. And it kind of, you know, definitely throws a black eye on Mark Cuban because, you know, Mark's supposed to – for a guy that's smart and that kind of knows what's happening, this makes him look really, really bad. So – obviously, I don't know if you can talk about that. JQ, your thoughts, and then we'll kick it to Rob from that perspective. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to combine the other topic with it while we talked about the Mavericks. I mean, is anybody really having a worse week than Mark Cuban right now?
Oh,
I mean,
that's a good call.
Openly talks about tanking and gets, what, the $600,000 fine for openly talking about, well, all we can do is lose at this point. And then the scandal. And not to brush over it because it's just ridiculous. The president there getting pushed out with all the warning signs where he had the HR rep, you know, basically in his corner, you know, telling people just to be quiet and take it. And he's the boss. I don't know if you guys read that SI article, but I mean, it's damning. I mean, it is really damning. I don't know how, if you're Mark Cuban, I can know he says, you know, I'll let them handle that piece. I just handle this side, but the way that it was portrayed by the women in that story, we've told people we told to do it multiple times, and they just, you know, pushed us to the side and said, you know what, you know, put an H on your chest and handle it. Pretty much is what they told them. It's hard. It's going to be hard to rebound for that. I mean, the only thing that helps them in quotes is because it feels like there's a story like that that comes at least once every 10 days. And I know Mark Cuban can't say this out loud, but he's hoping on that 10-day cycle to push him off the front page because his week has been just as bad as it can be outside of getting arrested.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Good call. Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, yeah. Obviously, this is a big blow to that entire Dallas Mavericks organization and a big blow to the NBA as a whole because the NBA was riding high following that All-Star game this past weekend. So, obviously, this is a big blow to the NBA as a whole. They're the only sports league right now where the TV ratings are actually up. They've been up like 15% this season and last season. So, the NBA has been kind of on a high, you know, based on from a fan support from around the world. And, of course, their ratings increase here in the States as well. So, that's obviously a big blow to the league after – you know, obviously the increased fan support. Like I say, they were riding the high after the All-Star weekend as well. So it's a big blow to the league, big blow to Mark Cuban, big blow to the Dallas Mavericks, obviously. So we'll see. Obviously, I'm sure there's going to be a full-blown investigation into this situation. So we'll see what comes out of it. And a tanking comment, obviously, did not sit well with the NBA. And probably be definitely justifiable of Mark Cuban saying, obviously, you want to protect the integrity of your game. You don't want to openly come out and say you're going to tank and things of that nature. And I think the NBA is going to be – they're going to make some changes to the lottery. Not this year, but I think next year is the year they're going to if I'm not mistaken, I think next year will be the year they're going to have some real stringent rules in regards to tanking. And, of course, they're going to change the lottery process as well to try to prevent teams from tanking as well. Now, if you remember when the lottery process first came out, you know, every team had equal chances. So it wasn't this weighted lottery that we have now. But if you recall, for example, if they had 10 teams who missed the playoffs, the team with the worst record, the team with the 10th worst record had just as good a chance as the team with the worst record. And then they went to the weighted process to improve it, which they have. But I hear now they're looking at even more stringent process for the NBA lottery going forward. But I believe, like I said, I believe that's going to take effect next offseason.
That's correct.
Frozen envelopes still happening.
So, yeah, just real fast. So you're right. And I believe in 2019, I think the rule is the worst three teams have the same weight. So you don't have that 1, 2, 3 kind of weighted the word which you just spoke about. So the top three teams is the worst top three. The worst three teams will have the same weight is what they're doing, I believe, in 2019 to make it to try to keep people from tanking. And just one last thing about, you know, the Mavericks. I mean, it's so bad that the NBA, you know, in trying to get ahead of this has already established, I believe, a 24-hour hotline for all employees. that they can call in and report these incidents so that they don't get buried by the, you know, the HR representative and people who have a vested interest in that team. It is, but to Rob's point, he's exactly right. They were flying so high after having a great weekend and then having that hit. I worry about the timing of that story. That seems kind of, you know, suspicious to me, but it's still a story that needs to come out. But them coming out right behind it with that lets you know how serious it was that, you know, it's not even been 24 hours. They've already established a 24-hour hotline so people can report these abuses. So it's a tough time back on the first day of full games back to have to deal with that here in this past couple of days for that Dallas scandal.
Do you think it was fair, though, with the comments, though, the $600,000? I mean, you know.
I do. I mean, you can't say that. Robert,
yeah.
You can't say that. Mm-hmm. You can't say that.
Okay.
You can think it. You can wink. You can nod, but you can't let those words come out your mouth. Because if you're the commissioner, Rob is 100% correct. You have to respect the integrity of the game and give your fans the illusion that you're going out there trying to win and put the best possible product on the court when you're paying all this money for these tickets. To say that is just something that you can't do. And Mark Cuban knows better than that. He got caught up in the moment. He knows better than that. He knows he can't say that. Let somebody come in the Shark Tank with some craziness like that, he'll walk them right out the door. Like, you can't do that.
Yeah, but you guys keep fighting for playoffs. And I know we're going to get into this topic here in a little bit, but you look at the Western Conference in particular right now, when you look at the teams that are seeded right now from 3 to 10, I mean, those teams are only separated by 3 to 4, maybe 5 games at the most, the third seed through the 10th seed in the Western Conference right now. I mean, so you're going to have two teams that are going to be left out of this playoff race. And if you're going against a team that's tanking and another team's going against a team that's still fighting, I mean, you're really hurting, you know, the integrity process of your even your playoff system there for who goes in the playoffs. So, obviously, you want every team competing on a nightly basis to obviously make it fair for the selection process and who advance to the playoffs. So, you don't want to see teams tanking at the end of the season. And giving
I don't
teams
know, Rob, you got these super teams happening too, so, you know, I'm not saying that's right, but, you know, you got to figure out how to compete against them times too. So
super teams
saying,
have been going
not,
on forever. I that's what I keep telling people. Super teams have been in the NBA forever. it's nothing new.
We just
it's
didn't have a name.
That's for Tony, bro. I'm just saying, bro. All right,
Houston
Tony.
Rockets
for
Charles Barkley, Clyde Drexler, Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, the super teams are going on forever.
The Lakers,
careers, though. But Gary Payton and Karl Malone got on there late, too. So, but, yeah, I'm just saying.
I mean, that was a forming of a super team.
It was.
I
agree.
It was later in their career.
Nothing
I'll
new.
Give you that. But, so,
yeah, but they made
then
the NBA Finals.
Then went to the Bulls with Jordan and Pippen. That's a super team.
Yeah.
Who went to the Bulls? Who went there? Rodman?
Dennis Rodman.
Rodman. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That was later on. That was after. You know, okay, we're going to talk
no,
about
that was prime Rodman.
Here.
Yeah. That was 25 rebound a game, Rodman.
Yeah, I was going to say that was prime
I'm
Rodman.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of after he had his run with the Pistons, fair enough. All right, I mean, like I said, again, I'm just there's
yeah,
certain
the Pistons
certain
acquired
there,
Mark McGuire to get those two championships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they got Dantley's old bad news bear attitude out of himself.
That was great. Sorry, that was a good thing with bad news thing too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying,
yeah,
like,
super teams.
You look at the Mavericks right now as they're currently constructed, you know, and if I'm not, this is just me just being controversial here, because I'm saying right now, you got a young Dennis Smith Jr. and, you know, aging Dirk Nowitzki, then who else you got? You know, so that's probably why he said something crazy. I'm not defending Mark from that perspective. I'm just like, he's going to say whatever he's going to say. He's like, well, I got to get somebody. Since, you know, because I missed out on freaking, you know, DeAndre Jordan and all everything that happened with the whole come back to the Clippers and that was the whole conversation, but just, you know, it's all good.
I'm with him in principle, but you just can't say it out loud. That's my only
you
thing.
You can't say it out loud. I'm in agreement with
the
guys that it was the terrible thing to say. I'm just saying. That was a little Charles Barkley. Terrible, terrible. But, you know, he's going to say what
and
he
Andre, you criticize the super teams, man, but you're one of your favorite teams is the Golden State Warriors.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
But he ain't no Golden State fan, though, so we can't say that.
Yes, I am. I'm a Golden State fan.
We thought you were a Hawks fan.
I'm a Hawks fan.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. Okay, let's just move on. Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
Are you an LSU fan, Rob?
Yes, I am.
Are you a North Carolina fan?
Yeah, in college basketball, yes.
I did not see. Russ, you can have a fan too. JQ, are you a fan of Cincinnati?
Absolutely.
Are you a fan of Ohio State?
Yeah.
See? I rest my case. You can have two teams in your hands. All right, here we go.
Okay.
All right, let's keep this moving here.
But
here.
Whoa. Y'all went across multiple states. I'm talking about two teams that's in the same state that I'm rooting for. That's not the same thing.
Oh, you a Miami Hurricanes fan too, JQ.
Well, that's a true statement.
y'all can't get on me.
You just as guilty.
I'm kind of married into it because the fam's from
Damn
California.
Damn it, Rob, you
so
know
that's
too
why,
much.
You know, so it's all good. I'm sick of this BS, man. I can have allegiances of both squads too, man. Let me have my damn one winning team right now because I'm just bad. All right. Whew. It's pretty bad with the Hawks, man. I'm scouring the line. You know, and somebody said, speaking of this, I know we're going to go a little off topic because we're talking about Lonzo Ball and what's happening with Magic Johnson. Now, JQ and Rob too, because we were talking about this on Atlanta Talk Radio. They were talking about the fact that the Hawks should actually trade for Lonzo Ball, right?
Oh,
I don't know if this is ever going to happen, but the reason behind it was because shit, we have nothing.
Uh-oh.
I mean, as much as the drama and head cases with, you know, LeVar, that's something in Atlanta. We have something to talk about. And at first I was like, you know, cause something's better than nothing. We have no identity. We have nothing. We have no hype, no anything. And so they're talking about, you know, I don't think it's ever going to happen that go. But just the fact that, you know, this is actually being talked about.
Shit.
Hey, we should actually make a trade, give you a first pick, and maybe Dennis Schroeder, get Lonzo Ball. We have some type of identity. So that was something that was being discussed, man. So anyway.
If the Hawks pick is in the top five, and they're talking about giving the Lakers the pick and Dennis Schroeder, I think Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka make that deal. I think they are done with LeVar Ball, but they want to get maximum value. You took the second pick to get Ball. So if the Hawks end with a top five pick and you get a ready-made point guard and a shooter, if I'm the Lakers, I don't reject
that.
I mean, if I don't do it, I think about that really.
And you get rid of a headache?
Yeah, right.
See, I don't know.
I think about that.
I don't know if it's going to be a top pick. It may be like a later pick too, but that's what we're talking about. Somewhere they're giving like one of the first-round picks because we got like three of them. So, again, just
it's got to be the top.
I mean,
you get the second pick in the draft. If I'm the Lakers, that's what I would hold out for. You get the second pick in the draft year removed from being the second pick in the draft. So if I'm the Lakers and they're talking about giving me their pick in the first round, if they throw in Schroeder, it's an automatic yes, I think. But if this was straight up like top five pick for Lonzo Ball, and you get, like Rob said, you get rid of the headache, you got to at least sleep on that one and think about it. You got to pray about it. Something.
Yeah, you got to pray about it. Come to Jesus.
Man,
all right. I'm
just saying.
All right, let's talk about this. Let's talk about that was just something I was talking to the radio, and I was like, man, I wonder what JQ would say to that, you know, too. So because again, I know how you love Lonzo and you love LeVar, so it's just crazy. All right, let's talk about this.
I think
let's
right now
about...
any team would be stupid to trade for Lonzo. That's just my opinion.
I agree with you.
Wow.
What are you saying? Die Hard 3? That's a white man, white problems. That's your problem. Hey, listen, hit him with that Samuel Jackson. Hey, LeVar Ball is your problem. Unless you're going to give me something to take him off your hands, no dice.
Wow. It ain't happening. So, like I said. All right, let's talk about this. Who will have a better second half, the Warriors or the Cavs? When I was looking at this question, and I guess you're looking at perspective too because, you know, are you talking about this, you know, better record, better, you know, team? Because obviously the Cavs are going to be better because of all the changes they've made. So I don't know if you wrestle the Warriors as far as that because that's an easy
maybe
from that perspective. Well, you know what I'm saying. Well,
maybe
that's what I'm
they lost tonight. They lost tonight. The honeymoon period may come quicker than you think. I'm just saying I wouldn't just put that in Sharpie because of the new moves and they seem re-energized. They still gotta go out there and make it account for wins and losses. So that's what I was like. I don't know if I could say that. Just as a matter of fact statement, I think the Warriors needed that time off. I think the Warriors come back energized as well, and they know now it's time because it's not really the halfway point. They all have like what about 25 to 28 games left.
Yeah, we're
going
past
the playoffs.
That point.
Yeah, so you're in a stretch run. Yeah. I think the Warriors are come back energized. Like, okay, you know, we made it through all the foolishness in the first half of the season. We still got the number one seed in the West. Let's go ahead and close this thing out. Keep the one seed. Make everybody come here for Game 7 if it gets that far and keep it rolling. I think the Cavs are going to have some ups and downs. I mean, they still haven't solved everything, and that's still a new, you know, pretty much a new squad. When you get four new players in there. I mean, you only have 14, 15 guys on the team, and, you know, your 13, 14, to 15 guys aren't really playing unless something catastrophic happens or Kevin Love isn't even playing. So you're talking about still trying to incorporate all of them into a grind of a lot of back-to-backs, three games and four nights. Like, I don't think it's going to be as rosy as it was heading to the All-Star break as it is coming out. I don't think they're going to have the same kind of turmoil, and I hate this guy. He wasn't really sick. I don't think that's going to be the case. But I think the Warriors, personally.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was just saying, I think it's fair enough point, but I was just saying, you know, after the first half of the season, you know, they're probably going to be definitely better than that. But good call. I'll take that. Go ahead, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say Warriors, too, as well. I mean, I think when you look at the Cavs, you still have one of your best players out who's going to be out for just about all the way until possibly mid to late March in Kevin Love. So you basically still have – the only all-star you have is LeBron James and a bunch of guys who are technically role players. And so obviously, I mean, the Warriors still have four superstars, four stars on that team. So obviously I think it's clearly the Warriors. And I'm still not – you know, I still have to see this from a long period of time for the Cavs. As JQ mentioned, the Cavs lost tonight at home to the Wizards. And that's a Wizard team that don't have John Wall either. So we'll have to wait and see. I know they had some impressive wins right before the All-Star break on the road against Boston, at home against Oklahoma City. So they had a couple of impressive wins. But I have to see this for, over a longer period of time to see if this is really going to work out. Now, I do think from a defensive standpoint, they should be better. They got a little bit more athleticism, a little bit more length on their team. And that's one of the things we've been saying all season long. They just look old as a basketball team. They should be rejuvenated a little bit, but I'm still not ready to say they're going to win the East just yet.
Man, you guys are just making me look good. I don't have to, like, talk about my Warriors, man. That's even better. Nice. All right, let's keep this going here. So,
not in my
who
way.
Would you rather start a franchise with? Would you rather start? I'm curious about this question again. Like, Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James? So, clearly, we're probably going to say LeBron James. Are we talking about now? Because, you know, obviously, Kawhi is younger than LeBron. But still, I mean, if you're talking about start from finish, everyone's probably going to pick LeBron. So that would be meant for this question, Rob, from this topic?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're looking at in the now situation, I personally think I would still take LeBron James because I think you have to question Kawhi Leonard's heart right now in the situation that he's in. And a terrific basketball player. He's younger than LeBron. But LeBron has proven throughout his career, he's been able to take care of his body. He's been able to stay healthy. And, obviously, he's moved around the league a little bit, you know, trying to coordinate, putting together a team and things of that nature. But, these last couple of weeks, he still proves that he's still the best player in the league. Even tonight, you look at what, 30-some points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. You just don't have too many guys in the league that can put up those kind of stats. And JQ's loving it from a fantasy basketball standpoint. he's still a stat sheet stuffer. And so, obviously, I think, and from the way it looks, he at least looks like he still has at least 4 to 5 years left that he can really play at a high level. At least that's the way it looks at the moment.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You touched on the health about it. And I'm going to take a slightly different piece, too, in terms of also picking LeBron. Because I thought about this, but with the story coming out yesterday earlier about Greg Popovich saying, you know, I don't know if he can even come back this year because if he comes back, you know, when he's fully ready to go, he won't have time to assimilate. How often do you hear players having a problem with the San Antonio management and Popovich to the point where they're going to just basically, you know, fold their arms and say, I'm not coming back? When you do that, it makes it more look bad on you. You're right. It makes it look more bad on you. There are some organizations that happens. They're going to say, oh, here goes Sacramento Kings again, being idiots. You know, I wouldn't play for them either. But you don't hear anybody doing that for San Antonio. And then you have Kawhi change his representation over to letting his uncle run it for him. So not to say there's anything wrong with his uncle, but since you've had that shift, you kind of had that Kawhi, they don't treat you right. They don't value you here. People won't come play here with you. It's time to go. And it sheds another negative light. It makes him also look more like a malcontent in the way that he carries himself. And, I mean, he's always been the same way. Don't get me wrong. He's never too high or too low. But he's not one that's, you know, he doesn't have a real affable personality where he's outspoken and laughing and joking with people. You know, he has that serious face all the time where he looks like he's not happy. So when you put that on top of the story and the change representation and then the discord between him and the organization, the person that falls on it the most is not Greg Popovich. It falls more on Kawhi Leonard. To Rob's point, people question his heart. Or he just don't want to play. What's going on with him? Nobody's saying, has Greg Popovich lost it? Is the San Antonio organization on the verge of not being a first-class organization in basketball like we've known it to be? It's all about Kawhi. What's wrong with Kawhi? Is he really hurt? What's going on with his head? Yada, yada, yada. So if you put those kind of questions into the argument, I think it's to LeBron where I think it would have been a really tough decision, even with this injury, if you didn't have that, where you're like, you know what, he's legitimately hurt. I just don't think – we didn't think it was this serious, yada, yada, yada. But it just seems like Kawhi's not happening. He just is pulling almost a Kyrie on them, like, I want out of here, so I'm not playing. That's what it comes across as.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's hard to pick him if he's going to kind of go into that kind of mode and that persona and that attitude.
Yeah, it's just kind of tough. We got about 9 minutes here left, and it's just kind of tough. I feel like, Rob, you're going to add on this too, just because right now, you know, he's kind of an unassuming superstar, right? He just doesn't say a lot. You don't get a lot from him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if he's mad, if he's happy. You know, he could be like the
right.
coolest guy ever, and his uncle could be like LeVar, you know, like talking all that junk, you know, and then he's just like, what, you know? But he never says anything. So from that perspective, it just kind of looks, you know, it looks bad, unfortunately. So he's probably – I had the highest respect for him because he never talked junk. He felt like he was like a business, get it done. And that's the actual mold of the San Antonio player is Kawhi Leonard, which is crazy. So there's something else going on behind the scenes. We don't know what. Maybe it's going to actually pop a little later on because you know there's something else that's happening right now because you think Pop is a great coach. You know that organization is top-notch. So something else is happening
right
too. Go ahead, Rob. Are you about to say something too? Rob, it sounds like you're about to say something.
Well, yeah, I mean, just to piggyback off of what both of you said, I mean, yeah, I mean, you look at last year before the playoffs here, I mean, you probably, Kawhi Leonard was looking like a top three, top four player. He was actually in the MVP conversation prior to getting hurt in the Western Conference playoffs last year in the Western Conference Finals. You're talking about a guy who was getting it done on both ends of the floor, really improved in every aspect of his basketball game. And so, yeah, it would have been a – prior to the playoffs last season, that would have been a very legitimate conversation and a tough decision if GMs had to decide who they're going to start their franchise with there. So that's those are definitely some valid points.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, 7 minutes here. Let's talk about this idea of the reseeding of the entire playoffs. And there were some hints about this at the All-Star game, after the All-Star game, and I was looking over kind of how it plays out, and I know this is – it's crazy because I actually like it right now, just preliminarily, because I'm like, you got eight squads. You're going to – it does kind of have the NCAA feel to it, but there's an actual nice little clip as far as what it looks like, and it looks interesting to see, like, your 1 and 16 teams, you know, versus 2, 15. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was like, hey, you know, I know it goes against the whole tradition of what's happening right from the past, but again, it's just right now, until it actually happens, I'm like, yeah, it's an intriguing thought. So I'm like, hey, at first I was like, eh, I wasn't for it, but I'm looking at doing some research. I'm like, huh, it's pretty interesting. So it does have a little more excitement to it too, because you can hit, literally any team can be beat, you know, and you have that great feel. So that's me. Jake, you don't seem too happy about that. Go ahead, man.
No, I don't. I like having the Western Conference Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, and I feel like it's more of a knee-jerk reaction to the success that the Western Conference is having. But, you know, people kill LeBron James, and sometimes rightfully so, but he makes a valid point. You know, you just have the pendulum. It swings from time to time in conferences. You've had the Lakers be dominant. You've had the Celtics be dominant. You had LeBron's Heat team be dominant. I mean, you had the Pistons and the Bulls be dominant. I mean, you have it where you have these, you know, these swings where one conference is better than the other one, and I don't like having this, you know, get caught up in the prisoner of the moment thing where the Warriors is the greatest of all time, so now we got to reseed the playoffs. No, you don't. It's fine. I feel like I've watched most, you know, NBA playoffs here since I've been 5 or 6, I can remember. And we've always still gotten really good matchups for the most part, more often than not, throughout it, even when one conference would seem to be down, the other conference seemed to be up. I think it's knee-jerk to the Warriors, and it's trying to compete, like you said, with the NCAA tournament, kind of, you know, get the fever going for it. But I like, you know, that's one of your goals, is to win your division and to win in your conference, whether you're in the East or the West, so you can make it to NBA Finals. And that's how you also, you know, chart your growth as a team. We're making steps doing this, making it through this round. We won this, and this, and now we're on the cusp of something better. I don't want to take that away. I'm a traditionalist as well. I just don't like the knee-jerk reaction. It just seems like a prisoner of the moment thing to me, and I'm not with it.
Nice. Rob?
My thoughts on the situation is the NBA will be crazy to make that move right now. And my thoughts on that is, even though the Cavs and LeBron James, I think, have little chance of beating the Golden State Warriors in the NBA Finals. But right now, your best money maker is having LeBron James in the Finals every year, whether he's going to win the Finals or not. But if he's in the Eastern Conference, if they keep it the way it is now, his best chance of getting in the Finals is staying in the Eastern Conference. And so right now, if you reseed, I mean, there's a realistic chance that you would have the Warriors and the Rockets in the Finals this particular season. I mean, they're the best two teams in the NBA as we speak. And so right now, your best bet is to keep it the way it is right now from a rating standpoint, from a moneymaker standpoint. I mean, your best bet is to have LeBron James in the NBA Finals. He may not win, but you want LeBron James in the NBA Finals. Even like I said, they have little chance of beating the Golden State Warriors. And when he's in the Finals, their ratings are through the roof. And and so, I mean, that's what you want right now if you're the NBA. Now, when he retires or when he's out of his prime, if you want to reseed, I actually wouldn't be opposed to it. I think it could bring some excitement to the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, change it up a little bit and see how it works. Obviously, they were talking about keeping the top eight teams from each conference and just putting them in a hat and reseeding them based on rec. So it wouldn't be like 10 teams from one conference and six from the other. They'll still take the top eight from each conference and reseed them based on their records. Obviously, you know, air travel is a lot better than what it was 20, 30 years ago. And every team pretty much flies charter now. They're not flying commercial. So it's probably a lot more doable now from a series standpoint, you know, going forward. But I can definitely see down the road. But right now, if you're the NBA, you want to keep it the way it is from a moneymaker standpoint, because if LeBron is in the East, I mean, that's your moneymaker right now. That's the easiest way for him to get to the Finals. And if you reseed, he's pretty much not going to get there.
We got 2 minutes here. Let's set up the OT really quickly, and then we'll finish up too. Yeah, good. Go ahead, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks again for cooperating with us. I know we had some technical difficulties on Tuesday early this week. Thanks for tuning in tonight. We still got a lot more to talk about. Obviously, we still got some NBA. We got some NFL. So you definitely want to click on this link on tomorrow to catch this information. For our football fans, we got some draft coverage. We still got some heated NBA conversations to go over here as well, so you don't want to miss this. We got some good barbershop talk for you. So when you're getting your haircuts tomorrow, click on the same link. Listen to us in the barbershop tomorrow. You know, let us know what you think. Let us know if you agree with us, disagree with us, no hard feelings. So we look forward to hearing from you next week. The plan is to be on Wednesday night next week. Wednesday night, that's going to be the last day of the month, February 28th. Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Good night, people. Thanks for tuning in again.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all. We'll holler at y'all next week. And I'm going to argue with them about this a little more. So you want to definitely download the link tomorrow while you're getting your shape up and getting your beard right. Then make sure you hear what I got to say.
I'm just saying, too, JQ, before we get into that thought, as we wrap up, I am in agreement with you, too. I love the East and the East versus the West. I just thought it was cool to have a different shakeup, too. So that's, I mean, like I said, at first I was kind of against it because I'm like sort of traditionalist, too. I'm like, man, this is what it is. But you got to give them credit for at least thinking outside the box. Like, hey, this is a new idea. And it does add some excitement, too. But 100%, it's not going to happen tomorrow. Just the thought about it kind of makes you think how that would be interesting to see how it would actually play out if you had us, you know, eight teams kind of competing and having some excitement of having you know, 16 team, you know, kind of getting seeded too. Now again, we want to keep everything traditional. I'm a firm believer of like different swings, as we talked about it. You know, one day the Lakers on top, then you got the Celtics. We had the whole history of that too. So I'm not knocking the traditions with that. I was like, oh, it's kind of cool to think differently outside the box and have something new presented. So that's all I was coming from that point.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I mean, and from a business standpoint, like I said, from a business standpoint, NBA would be crazy to make that change right now.
They're not going to make the change this year. Yeah.
And obviously they won't do it. But I think it could bring some excitement to it as well. I think we saw the changes that we made to the NBA All-Star game, and I think that made the game a little bit more interesting. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, what – you know, teams, they started playing a lot more defense and things of that nature. I think a lot of that had to do with it. LeBron had his name on one of those teams. And obviously if his name is on it, it wasn't East. It was LeBron. And so obviously if his name is on it, he's going to want to win. And the same thing with Curry and one of the teams being named. So I think that element added the competitiveness to that All-Star game. So sometimes, you know, making little changes there could bring some excitement to it. And, but I think from a business standpoint, it would be crazy for the NBA to make that change right now. You want to do everything you possibly can to make sure LeBron James is getting to the finals.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, yeah. So I'll let y'all talk that craziness. But if you're going to do that, then what you have to do is you have to get rid of the divisions and you have to make a competitive balance for everybody. So you just take all the teams and they all play each other three times. You don't have that, oh, I'm playing the East, so I'll play these other so-called Eastern Conference teams three or four times. I only play the West twice. If you're going to see them all together, then you have to make the competitive balance be the same. That means that everybody plays everybody else the same amount of games if you're going to do that. And if you're going to do that, are people really going to be okay with giving up the divisions? Because I think that's the only way that makes it fair. If you're going to say one conference is better than the other, and that's the reason why we're reseeding it, then don't make me, if I'm in the Western Conference, play other Western Conference teams three or four times a year and I only play the Eastern Conference teams twice. Let me play everybody only three times and let those games balance out so I can play those bad teams in the East one more time. Maybe my schedule and my record gets a better instead of having to play all these harder Western Conference teams. And if the pendulum switches, you have the same problem in the East when you play against the West. So if you're going to go that route, you're going to have, to me, a total deconstruction of how you structure the league to make sure that games 1 through 82 give you more of a competitive balance so you can fairly judge every team in the league and get the top 16 teams and then do it. Are you really going to be okay with just blowing the divisions away? Because that's the only way it makes it fair.
You take it to the extreme, JQ. They aren't talking about that. Everything's going to stay the same. They're just talking about taking the tape.
But that's not going to make it the same, though. But if you're saying that the Western Conference is so heavy because now we have to reseed it, basically, it's why they're saying that. They don't have the teams in the Western Conference still be at a competitive disadvantage by playing more Western Conference teams more often than they have to play their Eastern counterparts. If you're saying that, then let everybody play the same kind of schedule and see where it shakes out and then go 1 through 16. If I'm in one of the divisions one of the conferences that seems to be the heavier of the two, I'm going to look at that and say, well, wait a minute. All you did was you didn't give us any chance to get better, a better seed. We're still playing a harder schedule because we're still playing this Western Conference schedule. All you're doing is taking the records to the end and shaking us up depending on our records and putting us 1 through 16. To me, that's not fair. If you're going to do that and you have to make a competitive balance from games 1 to 82 to see where those top 16 teams really are, and then go from there. Would Boston and would Houston and Golden State still necessarily have that kind of record? Maybe, maybe not. Would Boston or Cleveland or Toronto have that record? They had to play the Western Conference, that one of those upper echelon teams, one more time throughout the season. It brings teams up or down a couple games, and we just talked about it with Rob with facing the tanking team where it's like, oh, I'm facing somebody good and you facing somebody tanking. Those put playoff seeds on the line. I'm just saying, if you're going to do that, you need to make it fair all the way through.
Well, like
I wouldn't be opposed to that. I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I wouldn't get rid of the divisions. I wouldn't be opposed to that schedule, but I would still keep the divisions intact. And the reason being is you still want to recognize franchises for winning a division. So I would still want to see them play at least maybe if they can set it up to where you at least play your divisional teams five times and then maybe everybody else two or three or something like that, but some kind of balance. But I still want to see you play division teams a little more, but maybe not the rest of the teams in your conference the same. The rest of the teams in your conference should even it out with the rest of the teams in the league as well. But I would still want to see a weighted schedule with your division, kind of like how it is in football.
Yeah.
You play your teams in the NFL, you play your teams in the division more, and I would want to see that. But maybe instead of playing teams out in your conference four times, they should lower that and increase division games and equal that to the rest of the league. I think that would be probably, in my opinion, probably the more fair system.
Yeah, I was just saying that's a drastic change you're talking about, though. Even if you keep the conferences, I mean, my only thing is just don't take it at the end and reshuffle it based off the records. If you're going to do that, which you just proposed, Rob, I can get behind. But I can't get behind keeping it like it is and just saying, okay, we got to the end, take the top 16 records, shuffle up 1 through 16, and roll out the ball and let's play. To me, that's unfair. But I can get behind that piece of it. But that's a much grander solution that I don't know if people are really going to be ready for. That's still radical.
And if you look at the NBA standings this season, they're not that different. It's just the Golden State and Houston is just top heavy. That's it. But you look at 3-10 in the Western Conference, those records are about the same as the Eastern Conference playoff teams. It's not a drastic difference this year at all, other than the top two teams, and like I said, in the Western Conference. So it's not that big of a difference. Every team that make the playoffs right now, if the season ended today, every team that make the playoffs would be above 500. And I think right now, I think the Pelicans are the 8th seed in the West with 5 games over 500. And I think the Miami Heat is just like 2 or 3 games over 500 as the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference as we speak. So it's not that big of a difference as we've seen in years past.
Okay, but if the Pelicans still had Boogie, would you rather play the Pelicans 3 or 4 times or play the Heat 3 or 4 times? Everybody, especially in the West, is like, give me Dragic all day.
We're going to play the Heat.
Dragic and me. Yeah, right, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I hear what you're saying record-wise, but still, if you're looking at it, I can't equate those two, even though they're in the same spot in the East versus the West. I still don't think it plays out the same. The records, I think, kind of skewed a little bit, but like you just said, you much rather play the Heat. I'd rather play the Raptors than play the Timberwolves. Like, you know, the Western Conference is top-heavy, and I get that. I think it's just deeper from top to bottom, not necessarily just top-heavy. But even I just don't like that play the same schedule and then shake it out. And you're doing that because you feel like one conference is better than the other, but you aren't giving everybody the same schedule. If you're going to do that, you got to give them, I think, more of an equal footing because it's still not fair to the teams playing in a superior conference to have to play that superior conference schedule and then, you know, maybe get shuffled down lower in the seasons because an Eastern Conference team is playing more cupcakes so their record is more inflated.
I think a team like the Pelicans, for example, if Boogie was still healthy – right before he got hurt, I mean, they were really hitting their stride. I think for a team like the Pelicans, you would want a 1-16 kind of seeding.
Mm-hmm.
They
would,
you know, they could easily be, you know, it would be hard for them to move to the second round of the playoffs in the Western Conference with the way it was constructed. But with a reseed, they could easily have been a second round team or possibly even get lucky and get to the Final Four.
But see, and that's the whole thing. Like, you're creating, like, a new type of – like I said, 100% in agreement with the traditionalists and everything, and we like how the divisions are and how everything is set. That's kind of – you want to keep that tradition for sure. But the idea of, like I said, just thinking outside the box, something that's different, and it's all stemmed from the All-Star game because the fact that Team LeBron, Team Steph, the different players, that's why this is how this came about because, well, hey, this is a cool concept. It actually worked. The fans appreciated it. So now, like, hey, let's look what would happen if it did. Like Rob said, it's not happening tomorrow, but I literally looked it up, and I was looking at the projectedness. And so, like we said, like right now, the way that it said is like 1-16 would be like it'd be Rockets Clippers, right? That's the 1-16 setup. Then it'd be 2-15, it'd be Warriors Pelicans. So again, like Rob is saying, you'd be better with Boogie, but that's an interesting matchup, right? And what if the Pelicans beat the Warriors because they just match up well with them? That would be kind of unique. You got Pacers. Wizards is
the
next one.
The Clippers wouldn't be in it because they're not in the top 8 in the West right now.
Well, this is the last thing that was as of the 18th, if you will, February 18th. So I'm just giving you an example of what this is if the season ended based upon that concept. So again, take that for a grain of salt, but they're just kind of adding that in too. So that's what they had on this projected page here I'm looking at, which is like NSC.com, whatever. But again, this is kind of unique as far as the matches because again they've got, you know, different matchups, and it's unique, you know, because what happens if this squad came out of nowhere and made a nice little, you know, like we talked about the Pelicans, you know, beating the squad or something like that too. So I don't know. That's all I'm saying. That's what they had projected. I'll send you the link, so I'm not crazy. You guys think I'm probably thinking I'm crazy here or something like that, too. But very unique, to say the least.
And the air travel thing, I don't think, like I said, I don't think it would be that big. Because you look at the Western Conference, look at half of the Western Conference is still in the Central Time Zone. Minnesota.
And you don't have Seattle anymore.
Memphis. Yeah, Minnesota, Memphis, New Orleans, Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, Oklahoma City. I mean, shucks, that's not quite half, but almost half of the Western Conference is still in the Central Time Zone. So it wouldn't be if they have those teams have to play against a team in the Eastern Conference in the playoffs prior to the finals, it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, no, the airfare doesn't mean anything. Those dudes got money. Like you said, they can lay full-on flight down on the plane. They're all right.
I mean, it just sucks. I mean, think about it. If Atlanta had to play New Orleans in the playoffs, I mean, shucks. Even one is in the East, one is in the West, but look how close the proximity those cities are.
And
Atlanta,
Memphis.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. We're going to keep going forever, but we got to switch subjects here. So I do want to get some. No, it's good. This is good talk, man. I do want to get some talk in as far as with some NFL here, but. I know we talked about the main stuff, too. Let's see here. I guess let's talk about – I don't know if you want to talk about the underachievement as far as the NBA and college basketball, and then we'll wrap up because I do want to talk about the March draft and kind of get to that because that's coming up next week, too, as well. So, Rob, you want to kind of like talk about that real quick?
Well, I think from a basketball standpoint, I think – obviously, I think the NBA has been thriving here this year and even the past few years. So I think from an NBA standpoint, I don't think the game is underachieving at all. I do think college basketball has been taking a dip from a popularity standpoint than what it has been maybe 10 years ago. So I think they've been taking a huge dip. Obviously, March Madness comes around and people kind of get back into it a little bit and get excited about it, you know, the little guys. But I think from a popularity standpoint, the college basketball, and, you know, it's a one-and-done generation, so it's, you know, it's really kind of hard for teams to really keep consistency. And you look at Kentucky, and you look at some coaches even trying to – Roy Williams in North Carolina is even staying away from a lot of the one-and-done guys now just so he can have a consistent program. And so you look at Kentucky, I mean, obviously they were successful with Anthony Davis, but Anthony Davis is a once-in-a-generation kind of player. And so, I mean, I think from a popularity standpoint, I think college basketball is not what it was, let's say, 10, 15 years ago. So I think they are underachieving. They're going to have to do something to try to improve the game.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the NBA has so many subplots, even outside of having a juggernaut in the Warriors, that when you put the pair down with LeBron, and then you have your can Houston pull it off, and you know what's going on with the Greek Freak, and the Philadelphia finally figured out the process. Like, I feel like they have enough storylines where it helps bore you that lead to where I don't feel like they're regressing. It's just the quality of play for college basketball is just not very good. And I'm loathe to tell a 18-year-old that can go to war for his country and vote, but he can't, you know, go somewhere and apply his trade. I'm loathe to say, hey, you can't do that. So I get that. I also like the one-and-done rule. I mean, I think it is hurting it, but I also think the AAU circuit is also hurting as well. They don't play as many fundamentals. It's all a look at me, you know, flashy, this, that, and the other kind of play. And those guys that aren't able to go one-and-done, you know, they get viewed down upon when they go to the NBA, but the quality of play with those, you know, upperclassmen just isn't very good from a depth standpoint in college basketball. I mean, you have your blue bloods.
Pace
we talked
of the game
about it earlier.
Too.
Yeah, it's just not good basketball to watch, to be honest. Like, I've tried, and then I get just tuned out because it's just not a good quality of play. I mean, some of that is on coaching, but some of that is if a guy comes into your system, you know, in an AAU style or whatever, and that's how they play. It's hard to reprogram an 18-year-old that's been playing that way since they were 7. You know what I mean? So they got to figure something out. But I struggle with, well, if you go, you can go right away, or you have to play 2 or 3 years. Because I feel like if he's 19 and he's fully ready to make millions off of his trade, and everybody knows that having to make him stay till he's 20 or 21 to me just doesn't seem right. So I don't really have an answer for college basketball, but the quality of play has definitely suffered to me.
Absolutely. And the pace of the game is, you know, like I said, the pace of the game is really struggling versus the pace of the game of the NBA. It's completely different. Completely different.
Corner.
Well, college basketball has become more of a slowdown game. It just doesn't have the pace. And obviously the NBA has the best of the best, so it's got the pace. It has the athleticism. I think the faster shot clock, of course, helps as well. And they have to do something to speed up the pace of the game in college basketball, make it a little bit more entertaining, a little bit more exciting. Obviously, I agree with you. If a guy is ready to be a lottery pick or ready to be a top-notch pick in a league, I highly recommend he leave. you go when your draft stock is hot. You know, don't hurt those chances at all. So I highly recommend that as well. But there's something to do with the pace of the game that it really has to pick up. And at one point, you can make a case that college basketball is more exciting than the NBA, but it's far from it right now.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, let's talk some NFL here. Let's get going. And Rob, you gotta start noting your mock draft, bro. Because what are you on, like 5.2 or something like that? You gotta let us know where you are, man. So keep track.
I think it's only number 3 this year.
I'm just being facetious, but I'm saying, you know, you should start, you know, naming your drafts, bro, because you do a good job of that too, man. So we're gonna talk some mock draft. And there's two players that are getting a lot of traction here, Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, and for what you say from different reasons too. And let's talk about this because I guess let's kind of start off where Baker Mayfield is going to get drafted, and we'll go into the mock draft. We'll talk about Lamar Jackson. So go ahead and kick this off, Rob. Tell us your thoughts, man, about Baker Mayfield. We'll kick it with JQ as well.
Well, I think Baker Mayfield is really making strides around the league. And, you know, at this point, it looks like he's about 80-90% chance of being a top 10 pick in his draft. I mean, you turn on the film, he's very accurate with the football. He's tough as nails. Obviously, he's come across a little cocky. But he's really shining in some of his interviews going forward with some teams. And Oklahoma is giving some good feedback to NFL scouts as well, on him as well. So I think this, obviously, Kirk Cousins' situation is going to be real interesting, of course. And that's, where he lands is going to change the whole landscape of the draft. I mean, right now I have him going number 6 to the Jets. But if Cousins goes to the Jets or Cousins goes to the Broncos, then, of course, Mayfield could easily fall back into the teams again. And so I think a lot of that's going to be really pending on what happens to Kirk Cousins. And obviously the NFL is the opposite of the NBA, where the free agency process comes first before the draft, where the NBA is the opposite, where the draft comes before the free agency. So it all is going to depend on what happens with Kirk Cousins. And there's a very good chance that Kirk Cousins is going to either be in Denver or the Jets. And I think from the sounds of it, the Jets might be the early favorite. So a lot of that's going to depend on what happens. But right now, I have going. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen in free agency yet. So I have Mayfield to 6. But like I said, if Cousins goes 5 or 6, then you could see Mayfield go 15 to Arizona.
So he's going to the J-E-S-T-S Jets or something like that?
Yeah, buddy was
fine. J-E-T-E. J-E-T-E. Y'all should have that sound by ready.
It got kicked out. So that's a little, because I was going to play that too. But no, go ahead, JK. Tell us your thoughts about that, man.
Yeah, and I agree. But I think there's still one other team in there, because I just don't think that Kirk Cousins goes to Cleveland. But Scott McLaughlin, who's been a consultant to the Browns, has been talking about Baker Mayfield every chance he gets. And it started at the Senior Bowl. And I don't know if that's a smokescreen to try to get somebody to jump in front of Denver and New York to come get him. But I could see him going there. I agree. I think in that 4, 5, 6 range, if he doesn't go there, depending on what happens with the Kirk Cousins saga, Tampa's not drafting him, Chicago's not drafting him. You know, San Fran isn't, Oakland isn't either, and I don't think Miami is. And, you know, Cincinnati is still dead set on freaking Andy Dalton, and Washington just signed Alex Smith. Green Bay has Aaron Rodgers. So your next spot is Arizona at 15. So he could potentially be, depending on what happens with the dominoes, in for a little bit of a 10 to 12 pick slide. So I totally agree with Rob there. But I still think he falls in that 4, 5, 6 ratio, because there's only one Kirk Cousins. If he picks one of them, I don't think a team says, okay, give me Sam Bradford or Case Keenum, or so to speak, you know, and I'm not going to take Mayfield. I just don't think that happens. I think one of those three take them in that range.
That's a good call. Good call. All right, Rob, back to you about Lamar Jackson. Where does he get drafted at?
Well, right now I have him going 29 to Jacksonville, which could be, you know, very interesting. Obviously, Blake Bortles, you know, played a lot better, got a team to the AFC Conference Championship. I don't think they're still sold on him just yet. The only other spot I can see Lamar going in the first round will be to Buffalo on one of those slots at 21 or 22. In my last mock draft, I had Lamar Jackson going to Buffalo on one of those slots. I moved him down a bit in this draft to 29 at Jacksonville. You know, there's some talk, you know, is he a borderline first-round pick? Is he a second-round pick? But I think when it comes down to it, when you go back and look at Lamar Jackson in college and you look at Michael Vick in college, I think mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson is a more accurate passer than Michael Vick was in college, mm-hmm. probably just as mobile. And so, I mean, I personally think he's a first-round pick in this draft, but I think there's some NFL scouts that are still not sold just yet. So it's going to be – I think Buffalo is the highest – is his ceiling, going somewhere like 21 or 22. Or he could fall somewhere into that early to mid-second round, somewhere in that ballpark. But right now I have him going 29 at Jacksonville.
I don't think Buffalo's going to go that direction because of Tyrod Taylor. That's just me. That's a whole other conversation. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, and Bill Polian is personally killing me. I feel like he is a one-man sabotage on Lamar Jackson right now in terms of changing positions. They talk about his accuracy. You talk about Mel Kiper. He'll talk about Lamar Jackson being inaccurate in one breath and then talk about Josh Allen being the greatest thing since sliced bread when both of them had about the same kind of completion percentage. I hate that for Lamar Jackson and that they're doing that to him. I kind of feel like they're doing him a little bit like Teddy Bridgewater. If you remember that, they just started trying to nitpick him, and he ended up falling into the 20s to Minnesota as well. So I hate that for Lamar. Like, I don't know what else you want him to do. It's not like he had the greatest talent around him at Louisville. He was the Louisville offense. This year, he had better stats than he did in his Heisman year. But they went 8-4 because his talent wasn't as great around him. I agree with you, Rob, and I agree with you, Dre. I think Buffalo is incorrectly going to say, oh, we had this problem with Tyrod. We're not going to do it again with Lamar. I think Jacksonville, I tell you what, they mess around and let Lamar go to Jacksonville with that defense and Leonard Fournette. And that's a problem for the rest of the NFL. So a piece of me wants that to happen just so you can say, yeah, you guys are some idiots. You caused this to happen because you tried to pick this dude apart and rely on one thing that you didn't like about him. But if it happens to another quarterback, you just want to gloss over it. I do not like what's happening with the way they're evaluating Lamar Jackson. It harkens back to me to the days of the 80s and 90s where you got to have a black quarterback change positions because you don't feel he's more of a runner than he is a such-and-such player. Another quarterback, a white quarterback, can have the same kind of flaws in his game in terms of completion percentage. But it's like, oh, well, he went to Wyoming. I'm talking about you, Josh Allen. But, you know, he's got a cannon. So he's going to go top 12. Like, I don't like that narrative.
Yeah.
I don't like the way it's going. And I'm really upset with Bill Polian. You know, this is the same guy saying that he will only listen to a call for two number ones and two number twos for Nick freaking Foles. And that's not to take anything away from Nick Foles. But I'm not giving him a Herschel Walker trade to get Nick Foles. Like, come on, stop it. Like, I don't understand what Bill Polian is doing. He's making me mad, if you can't tell.
Yeah.
Brett Favre throws in a triple coverage. Oh, he's got such great confidence in his arm. Randall Cunningham throws in the triple coverage. Oh, what an idiot. He didn't see those three guys there.
Right. That's exactly. That's my point. Like, the narrative around it is really bad.
And then you got Nate, triple six interception, literally boy playing for Buffalo, and he got to get a job, man.
Quintuple.
Come on, man. But,
right.
Nuts.
Right. He threw those in one half, too.
In a half.
Yeah, I should be
bro. If Tyler did that, he wouldn't be on the field, man. Ever again.
Right.
Oh man.
Right.
All right. Let's not get too crazy here because I just got finished watching Black Panther, so I'm a little hyped. All right. Let's talk about the mock draft. And looks like Robbie made some adjustments here. I'm looking at my Falcons. You got us drafting cornerback, which I did not see that coming at all. I would have suspected a Tavon Bryant and or a guard. So you're going to have to go through the draft.
Isaiah Wynn.
And also highlight.
Yeah.
Yeah, Isaiah Wynn. You're going to have to highlight, you know, some options here while you make some changes with this too. Because I guess the thing is, I want to think about if we were like the GMs for the squad too, because looks like we settled on our Darnell. And I also want to talk about, because as we dig into the drafts here, because there's some interesting things about the top five running backs, if you will, too. So go ahead with this draft, Rob, and kind of highlight some things here. And I know we're excited to hear what you got for us.
Gotcha. Well, obviously, I still have Sam Darnold. Obviously, you know, his last season, his junior year, he had a lot of turnovers this past season. But the wow factor,
terrible.
NFL scouts can't get past that. They're still looking at the wow factor and coaching him up. Everyone still thinks he has the highest ceiling out of all the quarterbacks in this draft. Josh Rosen is probably the most polished at the moment. He'll probably be ready to start day one more than any other quarterback in this league. I am going number five to Denver. As I just mentioned, Darnold to Cleveland. Look, the Giants, it looks like they're going to give Eli Manning. They look like they want to roll with him at least one more opportunity. And so I'm going with Saquon Barkley. They haven't had a good running back, seems like, in about 10 years there in New York with the Giants.
Cleveland's crying.
So they're looking to go with Barkley probably there to partner up with Eli in hopes that they get some of the wide receivers back healthy as well to give them a pretty solid offense. Bradley Chubb is by far the best pass rusher in this draft. Indy needs help desperately on defense. He will be a good fit. Obviously, they have to hope that Andrew Luck is going to come back and be healthy as well. Megan Fitzpatrick put together a solid draft for Cleveland with Sam Darnold. They may not get Barkley, but there's a lot of quality running backs they can get in the second round of this draft. You're talking about Darius Geis at LSU.
Yep.
Nick Chubb from Georgia. So there's a lot of quality running backs. Kerryon Johnson from Auburn.
Yep.
So there's a lot of quality running backs that they can get in the second round of this draft and still be pleased. So obviously miss out on Barkley. You go ahead and take care of defense with Minka Fitzpatrick. Some other names here. The Bears need some help in their secondary. Denzel Ward would be a good fit. San Fran needs some help defense. They're either going to go corner or linebacker there. I put them with Josh Jackson. The cornerback spot. The Cincinnati Bengals, if this draft holds true, Marcus Davenport might be the best athlete in this draft from Texas San Antonio. We expect him to be elite pass rusher in the NFL going forward here. Calvin Ridley, wide receiver from Alabama, deep threat to Washington. I see Josh Allen, strong arm, some inconsistencies with his accuracy. I am going 15 to Arizona. Let's see, who are the big names here? Will Hernandez, this is a guy that Falcons really loves. Hope he will fall to 26. I am going to Buffalo here. Offensive guard from Utah. He's a UTEP. He's a beast. Now, the Carolina pick, a lot of people may look at this and say, hey, they just drafted Christian McCaffrey as a running back in the first round last year. Why would they draft another running back this year? Carolina wants to have a ball control offense as much as possible. And McCaffrey is more of one of these slot running backs, kind of similar to the way the Saints use Kamara. So he's not going to be a guy they're going to hand off the ball to 15, 20 times a game. Carolina would love to replace Jonathan Stewart and some of those older running backs on their team and kind of get back to having that 1-2 punch at the running back position like they had with D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart for many years. And so a lot of people may look at that kind of crazy, but Sony Michel could be a good fit there with the Carolina Panthers. Atlanta situation here, Isaiah Oliver, corner, is not a huge need for the Falcons. It's just kind of the way the talent felt in this mock. And obviously, when your head coach is a defensive guy, they're going to make sure they have enough defensive players to put out on the field to be successful. And you look at the teams they put together in Seattle, they were always 3 and 4 deep at the cornerback position. It's still one of the four most important positions on the field. And you look at my Saints here, you know, even though the Saints had a really good year from an offensive standpoint, second in the league in scoring, second in total yards, the Saints really missed Brandon Cooks. They really missed a deep threat. Obviously, they had Ted Ginn Jr., but they really miss that deep threat that can spread the defense. And Christian Kirk is a guy that can really, really fly and could be a good fit for the Saints offense from Texas A&M.
Nice.
Mm.
Uh-oh. It doesn't sound like JQ's happy.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I appreciate all the work that he puts into it. But if I'm the Bengals and they may have to jump to get Roquan, to me, either you get Roquan, I told you if he's on the board, Georgia guy, you can go ahead and put that in Sharpie. But if he's not there, I personally would like to get Derwin James. I think that they need more help on the defensive side of the ball. I think he could beat the Cincinnati what Cleveland thought Jabril Peppers was going to be for them. I really do. I think Derwin James is just a stud. He can be one of those AFC Polamalu kind of AFC North safeties where you can move around and do a lot of different things with him. So that's if I was Cincinnati, that's what I would do. And I just don't think that Atlanta, they need – I hear what you're saying in terms of Seattle defense. I get it. But that offensive line regressed this year. And I just Isaiah Wynn, a Georgia product, need interior line help. I just think that's just a match made that they hope and pray in God that either him or, like you said, Hernandez from UTEP, who's an absolute mauler, one of those two falls to them. I think they go interior offensive line. It's not sexy, but I think they've got the skill positions and they've got a good enough defense, but they've got to be able to run the ball a little bit better and not put it on Matt Ryan and also to protect him. And I think they go interior line. I can see them doing – the Saints doing what you said. Again, Kirk. Because you're right, take the top off the defense. Because, I mean, I love Ted Ginn, but Ted Ginn's about 48 years old at this point. You got to get a little bit younger. He can only have that speed for so much longer.
So he got us to come back.
He still runs.
Shut up. But his hands have always been iffy. And, you know, he's had a good year with y'all. But his hands are always – it's not something you can really bank on. So I can see that for the Saints.
Kirk can help you in the return game, too.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I don't like these, you know, these workout wonders from small schools. A lot of times, to me, they don't pan out. I think Derwin James just played on the bad Florida State team this year, and if he had played on a better team, his stock would be higher. I just think in that league, when you got to play against Ben Roethlisberger, they're going to be the bar, and you've got Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, I need somebody to patrol that middle and lay people out. So I'm looking for Derwin James if I can't get Roquan. That's just me.
Yeah, I have Derwin James going 14 to Green Bay right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good pick. Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to go different.
Won't be that far off if he falls. If he goes 12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm gonna say to this, like I said, Rob, I like was agreeing with JQ. Definitely appreciate your hard work too, and love the fact you're doing this. Yeah, and this mock. So for me, I kind of agree. Like, obviously, it depends on what's kind of a free agency, whether they're going to get Andrew Norville or Sutton or something like that, that may get our interior lineman. So if we do that, then, we're probably going to go defensive tackle, or that may switch up, in that first round, if you will, too. Because like I said, at this juncture, if that does not happen, I agree with JQ, 100%. It's going to be interior. Either it's going to be Hernandez and or Isaiah Wynn. But that's what we're looking at. Now, if something happens and Tavon, what's it called, Tavon Bryant from Florida, that's the name that we're hearing a lot. So, again, it looks from that perspective, too. I agree with you about Roquan Smith. For some reason, the Georgia pipeline for linebackers is just right.
Well, I have Roquan Smith going number 11 in Miami.
That would hurt my heart. It would. I love Roquan Smith in Cincinnati.
It's impressive. This dude is going to be awesome. So if you get that pick, then, we're going to definitely address our cornerbacks later on too, Rob. So that's a good call for that too. And then I'm curious about Chicago because I guess where does Chicago – they need some wide receivers. I mean, is Kevin White still going to be the guy, from them too? So I'm kind of curious about their pick too. That's going to be interesting from that perspective too. So I know they may lean toward defense, but I know the new coach – he's slipping his name right now. I know he's an offensive guy too. So we'll see about how they may – adjust their draft for that too. So this is a pretty deep draft for a couple positions too, so we'll talk about that too. So good.
The thing you always have to remember about the draft too, especially with first round picks. And first round picks, you never draft a need. If it so happens to fall in place,
easily.
But you have to draft value in the first round. You have to get value for those picks. And so you have to be leery of drafting for need in the first round. So many teams have done that historically and failed. And so you really have to be careful from that standpoint. And so, in regards to the Falcons, a lot of times it's just going to depend on where it falls. If you really want to offer the guard, you have to make that decision. Is win worthy of a 26th pick, or do you try to fall back and get him where his true grade is? And maybe his true grade may, by the time draft becomes closer to a 26th. So you have to always remember those things when you're talking, especially with first-round picks. You can risk that a little bit reaching for need when you start getting into the later rounds to try to get depth at certain positions and things of that nature. But your first-round pick, you have to – the value has to match what you pick.
Well, I will say this, too, because – I'll let you get a chance. Because the Falcons, they said we probably reached on Keanu Neal. And he was not, supposedly he was a second-round guy. We're like, hey, we're pulling the dice – or rolling the dice. So, again, it really depends on what that value for your team is, too. Because, like I said, we could say, hey, this is I'm going to take this guy no matter what. So go ahead, JQ, and I'll wrap this up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I think there's an acceptable value or swing that most people will say, okay, if you got somebody like you talked about, take Derwin James, we're talking about 14 versus 12, that 2 to 4 kind of swing, you can get away with. You can't get away with a 12 to 14 kind of swing. People are going to be like, what are you doing? You could just trade it back into the end of the first round to get that guy. Like with Isaiah Wynn going a little bit later. Like that 2 to 4, I think is an acceptable kind of plus or minus, so to speak. But you can't get too far off of that. I would totally agree with that. You can't go double digits behind in the first round and say this dude was at 43 and I took him at 26. Like you should get killed and you will get killed for that. But if somebody's valued at 28 and you take him at 25 because you know he won't be back there and you can't broker a deal to get back to get to him, I don't think most people that, especially people like you that look into it that much, would quibble with it with so much about it. It's hard to get it 25 right on 25. Like, yes, it lined up perfectly. So you're going to get a plus or minus deviation, so to speak. But I agree with you. You can't go, I would say number one is 6, and I still think that's a lot. Number one is 5 for real off of your grade to where you're drafting in terms of need versus value. Once you start getting above that, you're reaching and you open yourself up. Atlanta got lucky with Keanu Neal. But Rob is right. More often than not, it doesn't work out.
Oh, I wasn't saying that, definitely that's the blueprint either. I was just pointing at the point that sometimes people are saying, this is my guy, I'm going for it, so it didn't matter what my grade is. He may have him graded that too, but 100%. I love the conversation. And just don't draft any kickers, like Tampa Bay. That's all I'm going to say from that perspective too. So there it is.
They
cut the draft kicker.
And they cut the backup kicker they signed after they cut him today. So they cut two kickers in the past 3 months. Yeah.
They gotta work.
If you have five players by the time it's your pick and they all have the same grade, you're gonna pick the guy that's gonna can help your team right away if it's a need position. So there's so many elements that you have to weigh in the draft. Nowadays, most teams are addressing their needs in free agency and drafting best players available by the time the draft comes around. In most cases. It's hard to do that at the quarterback position. It's hard to do that at the tackle position on offense. And it's hard to do that with pass rushers. And it's lately we've been seeing some good cornerbacks at the free agent market, which is surprising. But, historically that hasn't happened either. And so 9 times out of 10 what's really happening is teams are going out in free agency trying to plug holes. And then they're just trying to draft the best players available. Like I said, in certain positions, you can't do that. And interior guard, interior lineman, you can do that in free agency.
Yeah, you can get Sitton. Yep. You can get my dude from Ohio State, from Carolina. I can't believe they're going to franchise Gano and not franchise the guard when they want to run the ball. I don't know what's happening
in
Carolina with that decision.
That's crazy. That's crazy. 100%.
When I read that, I was like, what are you doing, Carolina? You want to run the ball? And you got a stud guard. I know you got a lot of money tied up in other pieces, but if you're going to tie your money up in the offensive line, they're going to produce, then that's not a bad place to spend your money. You can't use the franchise on the kicker. I don't get that.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, it's been a fun night. Let's go ahead and end the show. Go ahead and wrap this up, Rob.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, once again, we're going to plan for next Wednesday night. You don't want to miss the show, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Obviously, we got a lot to talk about, NFL combine, draft coverage, NFL free agencies right around the corner, NBA heating up. March Madness around the corner. There's a lot that's happening in the sports world. Sorry, we probably won't cover the Winter Olympics. But, you know, maybe. You never know.
I did. I thought about the women. Silver medal thing.
You might start
so,
talking
yeah,
about some
know,
women's
that,
hockey.
Yeah, so I got a little bit in there. A little bit.
But anyway, definitely tune in. Let us know what you think about the show. If you disagree with us, great. If you agree with us, great. Let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you all. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I appreciate y'all. And I hope y'all will hit us up on Twitter and let you know. Let us know what you think about the whole reseeding and whatnot. You stayed around for that conversation. And once again, you know, I disagree with this one, but it's great, Father. And I appreciate Rob to the fullest for putting his time in on these mock drafts for sure. So you guys go ahead there and check that out and drop us some comments. Let us know what you think about your teams. If they're not our teams, we still want to know what you think and see if you get closer, closer to Rob, or if Rob nails it. You know, it's always a good time just seeing if we can, you know, use our knowledge to try to figure out what's happening, what's going on. And like I said, I appreciate him 1,000% for putting the time into that. Talk to y'all next week on Wednesday. Good night.
Good night.
I will say this about Rob. I give Rob a hard time, but I got to go. Still to this day, he's been pretty consistent. Like the Matt Ryan, he nails that. I still can't ever get over that. So, again, I always pay attention to what Rob says because I'm like, dang it, Rob. But appreciate all the hard work you put in that, too. So, you know, we'll,
I try.
We'll keep an eye on
it. I'm sure I had a lot of misses, too.
Well, I mean, again,
hey, that's,
you know,
that's hard.
I saw in your mock draft, I actually printed out your mock draft, Rob. This is from whenever you first got started, JK. This was in 2013, and you had Kansas City taking Geno Smith number one. I remember that? You had Geno Smith going number one to Kansas City. Luke Joeckel for Jacksonville. I mean, this is like crazy. I'm like, oh, this is dope, man. It just literally like took me back whenever how far we've been doing the draft, man. But you know,
I'm sure by the time we got closer to the draft, I didn't have Geno number one anymore. At least I hope not.
It changed. No, but that was the first time you did that, and I was like, man, I was going to show this to you. I was like, man, this is whenever we first got started. I mean, you know, he had Mingo from LSU going to Cleveland. Jarvis Jones going to Arizona.
And that's where he got drafted?
To Buffalo.
He sure did.
This was cool. So I'm like, I should literally post this. But it cracked me up. Hold on. Let's see what you had for Cincinnati. So where are you at here? For Cincinnati, you had them taking Lane Johnson from Oklahoma. But that didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm
Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's the guy I wish we would have.
Jonathan
I mean,
Aiken.
Shit.
Yeah, Jonathan Aiken for New Orleans. Keenan Allen for that was crazy, and then you had the Falcons taking Matt Elam, the safety from Florida. That's
wow!
Crazy.
You were just a little off,
Keanu
Neal. Just a little off.
Yeah, we had. you had a shot.
Well, you know what's funny about these mock drafts? You know all the myself and of course Mel Kiper's, Ty McShay's, and the what's the guy Mike what's the guy on the NFL Network. Mike Mayock, You look at all of these mock drafts, Charles Davis from the NFL Network as well. Obviously, they all have a lot of great insight. But when you see their mock drafts, typically you might only get about 3 to 5 picks right in the first round. But it's just always fun to discuss and cover. NFL fans love it. And that's what we just want to give our listeners. And obviously, typically, the range of the players may be right, but they're actually where they get picked, it's more often than not, is going to be wrong.
And you have the trades. Yeah. It's just hard
to
prognosticate the trades. Yeah, so, like I said, I appreciate you. It gives us great fodder. There's sometimes I totally agree, sometimes I don't, but, you know, like I said, this is a great talking point, but the fact that you put your time into it, I don't feel like you just went and copied somebody's mock draft. You went and put your time into it.
No, you won't find it up the same way.
That's my point. I appreciate the legwork that you put into that to give us that fodder, whether we agree or not, just to give a different perspective. Like, I did it because of this. It's like, oh, I can see that. So I appreciate you for that, bro, for sure.
Yep. Good call. It's always a lot of love.
You have to send me that 2013 mock. That'll be interesting to see.
I'll have to I just print it out, but this is gonna be great for Rob to see this, man. Because I'll send it to both you guys. Because it was literally crazy whenever I pulled this up, man. Because I was going through some stuff, but it was great. But gentlemen, like I said, I'll let you guys get some rest so we can get up tomorrow. It's a Friday. So again, it's a pleasure chatting with you guys. Until the next one, have a great week, and I'm sure I'll be in touch with you guys soon. I got like a lot of gigs this weekend, so it should be fun, man. But we'll talk, man.
All right, Ryan, you go ahead and get it in.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.
Good night.
All right, guys. Peace out. This guy. Good night.